This episode is sponsored by Celestron, manufacturer of high-quality telescopes and an industry leader in developing exciting optical products with revolutionary technologies.
I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during June. This month, we'll mark the solar solstice, follow the moon's phases, welcome Jupiter and Mercury to the evening sky, and track down some stars with tongue-twisting names. So grab your curiosity and come along on this month's Sky Tour. Stargazers, as a rule, crave darkness. Nothing gets our juices flowing like a wide-open canopy of stars set like diamonds on black velvet. But for those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, June offers the shortest nights of the year. This month's solstice occurs on the 21st at 11:54 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Astronomically speaking, that's when summer begins in the Northern Hemisphere and winter in the Southern Hemisphere. For someone at a latitude of, say, 40 degrees north, which runs from Salt Lake City through Philadelphia and over to Madrid, June 21st will offer 15 hours of sunlight. It's just not fair. Here in Boston, it's often too cold and snowy to head outside in December when nighttime is longest, and then I get shortchanged 6 months later when I can view the night sky more comfortably. Okay, rant's over. Let's talk about the moon this month. Once again, the lunar phases track the calendar closely. This month begins very close to new moon, which comes on June 3rd. Why is it called new? Well, as the moon passes between us and the sun, it goes missing for a few days before showing up as a thin crescent in the evening sky, the earliest sighting of a new cycle of lunar phases. Most likely, your first chance to see that crescent will come on June 4th, which will mark the end of the Islamic observance of Ramadan for 2019. First quarter follows on June 10th, and that name has a double meaning. For one thing, the moon has traveled one quarter of the way around its orbit since new moon, and if you think about it, that bright semicircle in the sky is showing us one quarter of the lunar globe. Full moon comes early on June 17th here in the U.S., so can you see any difference at all between how the lunar disk looks on the evening before, the 16th, and one night later? Traditionally, this is called the full strawberry moon, signaling when these tasty treats get ripe. But many Europeans know it as the full rose moon. Last quarter follows on June 25th, and a week later the cycle starts again. Each lunation, from new moon to new moon, takes 29.5 days. So no wonder our word month and moon sound alike. They do have the same roots, but those ancient words sound quite different. It's mona in Old English, meni in Old Norse, mensis in Latin, and mesa in Sanskrit. Now let's track down some planets in the evening sky. The first two planets on our list are a bit of a challenge to spot. Are you up for it? Okay, then find a viewing spot with an unobstructed view toward west. Watch where the sun sets, then linger outside for another half hour. To the upper right of that sunset point is the bright star Capella. To the upper left, and fainter, is the star Procyon. Both are waving goodbye as they exit the early evening sky for the rest of this year. As we get deeper into June, watch for a bright interloper rising up between them. That's fleet-footed Mercury. Each day we see it a little higher up after sunset, peaking around June 23rd before it starts to sink into the twilight. We can use Mercury to find Mars, which is there in the western globe, but dim and hard to spot. Our best chance is around the 17th, give or take a day, when these two planets will be less than 1 degree apart. Although it's the larger planet, Mars is on the far side of the sun from us and quite a bit fainter than Mercury. If you can't spot Mercury or Mars, don't despair. Wait until it gets good and dark, and then wheel around to face the horizon opposite where sunset happened. In no time at all, we'll spot a super bright star looming over the horizon. That's no star, it's Jupiter, the king of planets, and it's unmistakable. On June 10th, Jupiter reaches what's called opposition. By then, it'll be opposite the sun in the sky, rising at sunset, staying up all night, and setting at sunrise. It's also when Jupiter will be closest to us, and therefore its brightest. Watch how Jupiter sits a little higher up week by week as darkness falls. It'll be gracing our evening skies for almost all of the rest of this year. And for an extra treat, keep an eye on where Jupiter rises, and then check that same spot about 2 hours later. You'll get to see a fourth planet, Saturn, rising into the late evening darkness. By then, you'll be seeing lots of stars. So which ones are which? Let's find out. Once evening's twilight has faded away, look toward where the sun set and make a quarter turn to the left, to face south. Do you see that bright star kind of on its own? That's Spica. Most everyone calls this star Spica, but I'm being true to its Latin roots. Anyway, it's the anchor star in the constellation Virgo, the Maiden. She's lying down in the sky with her head off to the right and her legs toward left. Spica, which is Latin for ear of grain, marks one of her hands. In fact, depictions of Virgo often show her holding some wheat stalks. Before it gets too late, look lower down and a bit to the right for a quartet of fainter stars arranged like a misshapen box. This is Corvus, the crow. Now glide a little farther to the right to find the constellation Leo, the lion, and Regulus, its brightest star. If you look at this arrangement at the same time each night, say 9 p.m., you'll notice that the stars are gradually moving down toward the western horizon, day by day, week by week. That's all due to Earth's motion along its orbit. Meanwhile, way over in the southeast, Jupiter has some company. Clench your fist and hold it out at arm's length. To Jupiter's right, by one fist, is the star Antares, the red-tinged heart of the constellation Scorpius. It's obvious, but not nearly as bright as Jupiter. As the hours pass, the stars of Scorpius will be higher up in the sky. Take a moment to compare the color of Antares and Spica. Antares means the rival of Mars, and it has a distinctly peachy color. But Spica looks icy white, a consequence of being a much hotter star. Halfway between them is the dim constellation of Libra, representing a scale or balance for measuring weights. Long ago, sky watchers considered Libra to be part of Scorpius. Its brightest star, more than two fists to the upper right of Antares, is named Zubaneshamali. Nearby, a bit to the lower right, is Zubin el Ganubi. These are fun names to say, and they have interesting meanings in Arabic. Zubaneshamali means the northern claw, and Zubin el Ganubi, the southern claw. A balance doesn't have claws, of course, but a scorpion does. Ancient Babylonians considered these two stars to mark the front of the celestial scorpion, and even though they're officially now in Libra, their names stuck. If the sky is clear and your light pollution isn't too bad, you can see that Zubaneshamali and Zubin el Ganubi form the upper right side of a kite-shaped quartet of stars. That's Libra, or most of it anyway. Now you might know that the Sun and major planets travel around the sky through a sequence of 12 constellations called the Zodiac. Scorpius is one of them, and so are Libra, Virgo, and Leo. This chain of constellations forms a highway of sorts along the ecliptic, which marks the plane of Earth's orbit and basically those of all the planets in the sky. Here's one more star to check out. Crane your neck and look straight up to spot Arcturus, the fourth brightest star in the nighttime sky. Can you detect a bit of ginger ale tinge in its light? Arcturus is a red giant star, a swollen orb that's more than 25 times the sun's diameter and 200 times its brightness. It's fairly close by as stars go, only 37 light years away. Now you might be wondering why I've spent all this time talking about the evening stars and nothing at all about the ones visible before dawn. Well, look, let's be honest here. For those of us in the US and Canada, during June, the sun rises at 5:30 a.m. or earlier, depending on where you live. And the last stars slip away in dawn twilight an hour or so beforehand. Are you really up that early? Well, if so, keep an eye out for Saturn, low and getting ready to set over the western horizon. That's about it for this month. If you want more tips for viewing the night sky, check out Sky at a Glance at our website, skyandtelescope.com. which offers great star and planet-gazing activities on a day-by-day basis. If you haven't already subscribed, you can find this Sky Tour on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. And please leave a rating or review. It'll help others find the show. And if you want to explore the solar system and universe more deeply, please do check out the full line of binoculars and telescopes available at Celestron.com. Sky Tour is a production of F&W Media Studios and is produced by me, Kelly Beattie. Our executive producer of podcasts is Jared Mayer. Join me next month when I'll show you how to track down all of the Scorpion in the sky, or how to stay clear of it, depending on your point of view. Until then, I wish you clear skies.